World Watchers International originates at KLRB, Carmel, California. Here's May.
Good evening. This is May Brussel in Carmel. This is program number 530, and it's January 31st, 1982. I have a suspicion that a couple of gentlemen from the Secret Service or a few more officials of the government might be listening this evening, and many of them probably never listened to this program. So welcome as a World Watcher, and we'll get on with the program, and a lot of this first part will be addressed to you and what I think about our meeting this evening, or this afternoon at my home. George Bush was on the peninsula, Vice President Bush, and he was addressing the Republican convention at Monterey this weekend, January the 30th, yesterday, and there were various people out in front of the hotel protesting. A silent group of people met with posters, the American Civil Liberties Union, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, NOW, the Women's Action, the Action for Democratic Action, Americans for Democratic Action, the International League for Peace and Freedom. They're quite a large group, a coalition of organizations that met out in front holding signs and protesting the policies of Ronald Reagan towards unemployed, the women, the poor, the elderly, and the nuclear policies and so forth. At first, I was going to be out in front of the hotel and thought I would join the group, and then I realized that it is more valuable for my time to be inside talking to the Republicans and seeing what's going on and meeting the various people running for state offices, if possible, or going to the tables where their co-workers were working. And I typed up a page on the Republican Party and my position on George Bush, because he was their guest speaker, and he's our vice president. And it consists of 10 sentences, and I had several hundred of these made, and another friend made a couple hundred, and we passed them around. I talked to people at various desks and talked inside about this situation. And what I had on the sheet was my stationery, World Watchers International, the CIA, George Bush, and political assassinations. No president or vice president of the United States should have been working for the CIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, or the Defense Industry Security Command. These are the sentences that I have on the sheets that I distributed and left around the table, and they got in the hands of the Secret Service. I gave one to Marine Reagan, and she was there. The Constitution of the United States made no provision for the Central Intelligence Agency or the National Security Council, and that is a fact. They have taken away the balance of power. Second sentence, General Reinhard Gehlen, Adolf Hitler's chief of intelligence, was flown to the Pentagon 5 months after World War II ceased. Gehlen was hired by the USA to form our national security agencies identical to Hitler's Gestapo. U.S. training of torture and police for poor nations were methods used and approved by Gehlen for the Central Intelligence Agency. Gehlen was only in two cities in the United States, incidentally, Washington, D.C., and then he was flown to the Presidio out here in Monterey. It's about one block away from where this hotel was built for the convention. The convention was at that hotel. Sentence three, the CIA has been working directly with Gestapo agents for the sole purpose of World War III against the Soviet Union, for mass slavery and economic profits, and mass genocide for the containers to be vaporized. Those are quotes from the Defense Department memo on blacks called the King Alfred Plan. Sentence four, the CIA director George Bush from 1976 to 1977, that was when he was CIA director, knew in advance and covered up the murder of Chilean Ambassador Orlando Letelier and Sandra Moffat September 18th, 1976, when they were blown up in Washington, D.C. I didn't have space on this paper to say that Mr. Contreras, who worked with Hitler, was a Nazi from Chile, has been rearrested in Chile just this last week. He was in touch with General Vernon Walters and the CIA, and they decided to rearrest him. I guess he was part of the Chilean intelligence, and now they are taking some responsibility for the murder of Letelier that was very much involved in Washington. Sentence five, CIA Director George Bush, now Vice President Bush, entertained H. Mubarak in his home. 2 days before Anwar Sadat was murdered, the CIA knew in advance of the murder plans and that Mubarak would become president of Egypt within 2 days. And I did a few broadcasts on the murder of Anwar Sadat and the way that Mubarak and the Defense Department, the procurer of the weapons for the Egyptian military and the intelligence were against Sadat and arming the PLO simultaneously. And he was betrayed. And headlines right after the murder of Sadat stated in all the major papers the CIA knew in advance he would be killed. Bush was director of the CIA, and with that composition, that position, you really don't go very far away from it once you've been the director of it. And 2 days after the luncheon at his home, Mubarak was president of Egypt. Next sentence, CIA Director George Bush worked directly with or supplied weapons for murder and torture to the CIA assassination team of Edwin Wilson, Frank Turple, George Kurkol, and Theodore Shackley. There is never proof that they ever left the CIA. Their expertise was to arm Idi Amin, Gaddafi, and Carlos with weapons, training, supplies for death. And on the sheet, I put the address for the Frank Turple interview where William Colby admits that even if they were ex-CIA, they could still be in the CIA. And this was the time period when George Bush was director of the CIA that Frank Turple was talking about the torture house and the equipment. We sent millions of dollars, I think $3.2 million, to Idi Amin. Turple worked on the third floor, and the screaming and the bloody cutting up of people was down below. Seven, CIA Director George Bush headed and once had to control, as head of the CIA, the Australian Nugan Bank. The bank collapsed when Frank Nugan was murdered. 14 other deaths followed immediately. London Times described the affair as the bank, CIA heroin, and murder. That was 1980, the London Times top story. $55 million to $1 billion CIA dollars are still missing. While George Bush was heading the CIA, they were heavily involved in Southeast Asian narcotic traffic and drug wars. And I didn't have time on the sheet to go into Air America and the narcotics and the traffic from Southeast Asia to the Nugan Hand Bank in Australia and disseminated among people that were in the hands of George Bush when he was the director of the CIA. Next sentence, the new CIA purge after Watergate that claimed credit for more than 1,000 assassinations in the 70s alone. George Bush at that time had to be covering up or directing the bombings, kidnappings, drug traffic industry. Nine, John Inkley Jr.'s near bullet to the President Ronald Reagan's heart is so closely related to the CIA and George Bush affiliations in Texas and oil industry that Hinckley has not been faced, he has not had a trial. Hinckley Jr. has been identified with the American Nazi Party as well as international connections to Mahaba Aja, the man who shot the Pope, and Frank Turple, and the assassination attempts on these people. They're linked together, and Hinckley has been arrested for the shooting in Washington but hasn't had his trial yet. And in conclusion, every unpunished political assassination makes the killer team more powerful over your lives. Human rights, civil rights, nuclear freeze become impossible if Gestapo agents have future plans for you. And I concluded with one more sentence. The only path to peace is by studying the past and how we got to this place on the brink of nuclear war, mass hunger, and mass genocide. I gave one of these, as I say, to to Ronald Reagan's daughter who wants to run as a senator in this state, and put it, one of the sheets in her hand and talked to her, and the Secret Service were around her. Well, there was a Secret Service agent at my home in June to discuss the Hinckley affair and whether or not he was at my house. John Hinckley was at my house in January, and he was that the same person who shot the president in March of 1981. Mostly they come to find out, they asked me again, my driver's license, my social security number, the names of my family members, can they take my picture, can they get psychiatric records I have, permission could they have if I went to a psychiatrist, or my medical records, what's my maiden name, where's my ex-husband, all the questions, they fill out a report, they come to the house and fill out all the reports on me, and they don't spend the time investigating the Hinckley family or the shooting of people in this country that's covered up so cleverly, going back to the years I began studying the Kennedy assassination, then realized all the different ways to cover these up. Could they take my picture? Very friendly. This one fellow had been at my house before, and he's nice enough. They're very uptight. I said, would you like to see a picture of the man at the window leaning down on the balcony behind Hinckley where Ronald Reagan was shot? I said, oh, yeah, but they left. They come in and talk as if they have about 2 minutes to write a report on something, and it's as if the car motor were running and they had to be out there and get back to someplace within a time limit. The curiosity level never goes beyond, you know, well, let's see the picture of a guy. Do you have a picture of a man in the crowd, you know, up on the balcony? The researchers who study these cases and years later are proven correct, in spite of all the official government people who get a salary to do this. The researchers keep finding information that the others don't want to see, and they turn their back on it and are not supposed to see it. And then, as I say, years later, there's the Senate Watergate Committee investigating things we said a long time before about the mind control and the medical experiments and opening people's homes and opening their mail, and the Koreagate Committee, the Rockefeller Committee, the Senator Church Committee, and the House Select Committee on Assassinations. There's always new information coming out, and it's coming from the curious people who want to know what's going on in this country. It's not coming from the FBI and the Secret Service. That's what they're paid to do, is to find the problems and write them up and prevent them in the future. But the events keep taking place over and over again because the people in charge of looking into the matter brush it over, you know, by trying to collect information on me, which they already have. And I'm not the problem. I assured them I'm really not the problem. The problem is out there, but it's very hard to get in their heads. They've been trained a certain way, and it's hard to get into their heads. They want to know if I dislike George Bush. I don't dislike George Bush. Do I hate Bush? I don't hate Bush at all. I just don't like the SAVAK. I don't like the Gestapo. I don't like Chile's DINA. I don't like the KGB. I don't like the CIA because I don't think they're there to gather information. I think they make trouble for the multinationals in order to keep the native slaves and keep the profits in the hands of a few corporations. The CIA is a private army for the sole purpose of instigating problems so we can send troops, and then we have a handle on the minerals or the agriculture or the oil in those native populations. We create the problem to send our people there so that the corporations who have the investments will realize the maximum of their investments. That's what they're there for. They have nothing to do with telling us in advance of any situation that's going to happen or has happened. They have missed every major incident and been off the beaten path on many of them. And events that do take place, they're caught by surprise, whether it's the martial law in Poland or the military coup when Khomeini took it and the Shah was out. They miss all these points that do happen, and they spread rumors where they wouldn't happen otherwise. I don't hate anybody, but I have no sympathy for these people causing so much trouble and pain. And if you saw the NBC News this week, or CBS it was, I missed the segment this evening, saw it the night before last, of what's going down in El Salvador and going in like the Phoenix program in Southeast Asia and pulling women and children out and killing them and making them go down the river to Honduras, and young boys with guns, you know, shooting at people for no reason at all. I'm glad when I see those things that I'm at least trying to do something and point out where these people got the nerve and the right. They think it's the legal right to go in and shoot anybody they want. The system that was set up by the Gestapo gives them the right, so there's every legal loophole, and that's why our army is training now in North Carolina some more secret teams to go into El Salvador to kill some more of the population. I can't stand that kind of thing, and that's why I speak up, because I hate that kind of violence and exploitation. And our agencies have it, and our past directors of the CIA, Richard Helms, was removed because of perjury, and Alan Dulles said under oath that he would lie to protect the agency. He would lie under oath. He told that to the Warren Commission. So they're trained to lie. So I don't think that a vice president should become the president or even be sitting in that position, because by nature of his office and the agency, they are trained to be sneaks and lies and wear wigs and mouthpieces to disguise their voice. and do every kind of deceitful thing that they can. And I don't think a president who isn't belongs to the organization, who vow that they'll lie if necessary, there's a conflict there. A lot of people used to be afraid of a Catholic president, the conflict of the church and state, and that his allegiance would be to the Vatican. Well, a CIA vice president, a CIA president-to-be, would lie to the country because that's the nature of the job. They're trained to deceive for a particular goal, and the end is what they want, not the means. They're not careful about the means, and that's the way it goes. So we had a little visit. I imagine he'll be back again, but instead of standing on the street with signs, I just put on my curb button and went around and talked to the various delegates and told them, I gave away those Nazi buttons I had, stamp out the Nazis, and tried to explain that the Republican Party had to get the Nazis out of the party, such as Fritz Kramer in the Pentagon, who controls Alexander Haig and Henry Kissinger. And then I get the usual, well, isn't Henry Kissinger a Jew? Well, there's Jewish Nazis, too, so that's okay. As a matter of fact, I brought in several articles from the New York Times, February the 16th, 1943, Jews for Sale from Germany and Hungary, for $50, that included all transportation expenses. If you put up $50, you could save a Jew. And the article was an ad signed by Ben Hecht in the New York Times. This is 39 years ago. And he said, 2 million people have died, and they've sworn they're going to kill more. Help prevent 4 million people from becoming ghosts. A full-page ad written by Ben Hecht, New York Times, Friday, November the 5th, 1943, Page 14, you can look it up and copy it, Emergency Committee to Save Jewish People. Well, 4 million did die, and the Jews didn't put up 50 bucks. My family didn't put up 50 bucks. I don't know anyone who did. As a matter of fact, one of the men on the committee, his name, Rabbi Philip Buchstaber, I met him, and he befriended us when my husband was in the Army, and we lived in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I knew Buchstaber in 1944 and 1945. He never even discussed the war or what was going on. This was before the atomic bomb had fallen, the same year, 2 months before it fell. He was working to save Jews a few years before. He was a rabbi. That wasn't even discussed at the dinner table or anything about the war or the Nazis. The circle I was in didn't even discuss these kinds of things. It was so far removed. So you can't blame the Nazis alone for the 6 million that died. The Jewish circle that I was part of, and they were wealthy Jews or comfortable Jews, never even thought about putting up $50 to send a Jew to Palestine. And they could. That included transportation, everything, and a Jew wasn't worth that much to them. And now they've made a profession of crying about the Holocaust, but that's another story. I shouldn't be so harsh about profession, but a lot of people keep writing books and stories and articles about the Holocaust. Why don't they go back to 1943 and find out why the American Jewry, each family, didn't put up $50 to save one life? There was an article this week in The Examiner, February 2nd, 1982. The Pope's cousin, John Wotola, lives in Detroit. He's furious because there was a plot to kill Pope John Paul II. He talks to his cousin, and they won't tell who did it. They say the person who was arrested had a lot of money. He had mobility. And this article tries to intimate that Gaddafi's the only logical person. He blames Gaddafi because Libya has terrorism, and the Italian government used to run Libya before Gaddafi was in. And the logic of why it would be Gaddafi is very weak, because Ajah wasn't just with Gaddafi. He was in Frankfurt, Germany. He married in Germany. He was in Spain before he shot the Pope. They knew about him in England. Frank Turpel did say on television their role, his team that worked for the CIA, training Ajah for shooting, and that he belonged to the fascist werewolves that I talked about several weeks ago. The reason there's silence, the cousin of the Pope can't figure out why there's silence, is that if you really go to who was behind it, you end up again with the CIA, the same people that shot Sadat, Anwar Sadat, that tried to shoot Ronald Reagan and to shoot the Pope. And the reason all of these trials are in a standstill, even though they admit in Rome there's a conspiracy. The Pope can't get the truth out because either he's protecting somebody or they wouldn't dare tell him, and they are protecting the would-be assassin. So the relatives and friends and family can scream and yell, but the lid is on it, because if they went to who was behind the man who shot the Pope, they would go then to Licio Gelli with his dual citizenship in Argentina and the international network of fascists. And God forbid they uncover that, we'd be home free with almost a safe society. So they can't dare come to that conclusion. It'll take a little while and more people to figure out what's going on. And they'll keep asking questions. Well, why don't we find out where this conspiracy was? They can't find out because they're not asking the right questions. I spoke last week just briefly several times on the trial in Rhode Island of Klaus von Bülow. That's the fellow who's been charged with giving insulin and injections to his wife, nicknamed Sunny. She's in a coma. There were several articles in the newspaper that were of interest on that case this week. I mentioned last week how the jury was handpicked with four current or past employees of the Navy underwater system, and I thought that was kind of interesting. And said that trial is blown by the nature of the admiral and the four people from the Defense Department and Navy Intelligence on the jury. But after last week's program, there was an article in the New York Times on this case on a telephone survey preceded the selection for the jury. Not only did he get his admiral and his four people from the same Defense Industry Security Command, that area of the intelligence system, but there's a company called Market Research in New Jersey, probably the home headquarters of IG Farben in New Jersey. A lot of New Jersey is coming into the news recently, if you've noticed. Market Research of New Jersey was hired by von Bülow, and they made over 100 telephone calls, and they asked people, are you a registered voter? Do you own your own home? Do you have an opinion on Klaus von Bülow? Have you formed your opinion yet? And they wanted to know what kind of economic class felt. Do you think he's guilty or innocent? So this is the first time I've ever read where opinion poll of marketing research from New Jersey was brought in on the basis of how they would select or want a jury. And he has unlimited money, so the justice system works a little differently for the very rich than the very poor, I'm sure. And that maybe that's how they came to the decision they'd take the military people for the jury. Another interesting article in the Washington Post on the background of von Bülow, this interesting character. I won't have to go too much into her background. She was married previously and then divorced. And in 1964 and in 1965, Sunny was in London, and she met Sunny von Bülow, who was a Dane, and they got married in 1966. And this Klaus von Bülow that Sunny met was a person who took on the name Von. There was no Von in his family. His father's name was Svend, S-V-E-N-D, Borberg. And he was put in jail for 4 years, the father, as being a Nazi war criminal. And the sentence was reduced for a while, and he was a Nazi. And Bülow was his mother's name when she remarried, and the family was prominent in Denmark. So after the father was the Nazi criminal, I suppose he changed his name to Borberg. Fritz Bülow was the new grandfather that he had after his mother remarried, and the name was prominent. And he added the Von, and according to the Washington Post, they don't know where he got that Von along the way. He threw that in. But Klaus von Bülow became an aide and worked for John Paul Getty. He was a lawyer in London, then a top aide to Getty. And a lot of his work required extensive traveling. He went all over the world. This reminds me when he was working for Getty, and I did other radio programs on Otto von Bolschwing and John Paul Getty von Bolschwing working for the Galen operation. Reinhard Galen, the chief of Hitler's intelligence again, Otto von Bolschwing took over the Galen operation and worked for Getty. And he became the head of the board of directors of TCI, a corporation out here in California, in Sacramento and in Sunnyvale, California. And Otto von Bolschwing became the president in 1970 of that organization. And John Paul Getty was on the board. And this began a lot of travels in Europe that made introductions for Otto von Bolschwing, not that he needed more, but the board members involved the ITT, the past president of ITT, the former vice president of Fairchild, and contacts with Aristotle Onassis, and John Paul Getty. So von Bülow worked for John Paul Getty, and the years overlap at the time that he was working for him and traveling. Otto von Bolschwang was over in Europe and around the world also working for John Paul Getty. So this man has a background of Nazi family in World War II, and then after the war, traveling in the same corporate structure as these other people. I don't know, as I said, the article doesn't say where he picked up the name Vaughn and wanted it. George de Morenschild, who worked with Lee Harvey Oswald, that came in through the Galen operation to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, he changed it to George de Morenschild to make it sound French, because the name was von Morenschild, and it sounded too German. He thought he wouldn't be accepted as a liberal, I guess, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He had to give it that little French extra touch to impress people, to lose the German intonations, because he was a German spy during World War II, and the FBI had followed him at that time. Now I'm going to change to another good article. It's in the San Jose Mercury this week. It's Accounting Time for the Reagans by Maxwell Glenn and Cody Shearer. And this article is about the Fred Fielding, the former assistant to the White House under John Dean, is now the attorney, the lawyer for Nancy and Ronald Reagan. And in 1978, the Ethics Committee in the Government Act, said that the president would have to disclose gifts worth more than $35 that they received in 1981 and loans or liabilities over $10,000. And the article says it's now accounting time for the Reagans. If she's donating these clothes to museums, and you know she borrowed jewelry up to $1 million to go to Prince Charles' wedding, and they have been receiving all kinds of sports clothes and clothes or gifts. A gift came to Ronald Reagan by the president of Mexico the day before the inauguration, so he didn't have to give that back. I believe it was a horse that was given to him. But now it's accounting time for the Reagans. But the interesting thing about this article, because the question of the gifts and the loans and where one leaves off, is that Fred Fielding is the attorney in the White House, the attorney for the Reagans. He's from Philadelphia. He was selected by John Dean to work in the White House for Richard Nixon, rather, at the time of Watergate. He was from Army Intelligence. He's a Philadelphia lawyer. I think of some other Philadelphia CIA people, Grace Kelly, that went on to Monaco, who is working with a lot of people very much involved in activities now that I've been discussing the last programs for the last months. Samuel Cummings of the CIA, who moved to London to supply weapons for people such as Carlos and Wilson and Turple. Richard Sprague, who was supposed to investigate the John Kennedy assassination, from Philadelphia. Arlen Specter is now a senator who is on the Warren Commission. And Jean Harris from Philadelphia. She was the woman involved with Dr. Tarnower, and there's a lot of activity in the Philadelphia area in the last few months. Philadelphia and New Jersey, just in the last, I'd say not more than months, maybe in the last year, people's backgrounds from Philadelphia, and interestingly placed, because I'd done one radio program on the Philadelphia connections to the Kennedy assassination. There were 10 or 20 different people right from Philadelphia. Well, this Fred Fielding has the job of preparing the gift list about the Reagans, and that is sort of like the fox really guarding the chicken house to give Fred Fielding that job. You might remember several weeks ago when I was talking about the mysterious apartments of Richard Allen, that Fred Fielding owns a condominium in Florida with Richard Allen, and each one of them were friends and didn't tell for their confirmation hearings that they shared these apartments with each other. Fielding worked with Ronald Reagan and didn't say that he owned an apartment with Richard Allen from the National Security Council. Allen went to work for Reagan and didn't say that Fred Fielding was his partner in Florida in this condominium. And this condominium was purchased in 1976 near Fort Myers from Viscount Butello, a businessman from the Azores who worked with financier Robert Vesco. They wanted to start an international business district in the Azores on behalf of Robert Vesco. Now, I was very suspicious of the gifts that Nancy Reagan could receive, or the under-the-table money, the possibility that so much could be payoff and not revealed, because when you get Robert Vesco and Mr. Butello and Richard Allen and then Fred Fielding, the attorney for the Reagans, there's a whole pipeline or a train. I'm sure that Fred Fielding, with his past reputation at Watergate, isn't so accountable for anything or at all that would go in and out of the White House. Now, there are three apartments down there in Florida at the Sanibel Island. One Richard Allen owns, the other Richard Allen and Fred Fielding owns. And the Los Angeles Times printed an article in November 28, 1981. Richard Allen's third partner is still unnamed. Now, I should think it would be mandatory not only to switch his job from national security advisor to advisor of the White House, but to know who he shares it with. Does he share it with Theodore Shackley or Edwin Wilson or Robert Vesco? Who is there in that apartment? And remember the LA Times story, January 18th, 1981. I mentioned on broadcast number 522, that's 8 weeks ago, the Japanese newspaper said that the real gift, the present that Richard Allen got, is the big story behind the scandal. I'll take a break for 1 minute and get back to the Reagan's gifts and Richard Allen in 1 minute.
This concludes the first half of World Watchers International with May.